AI makes life easy for us in the sense of you put your prompt in, it tells you the information, and then you can just copy and paste, and there you go. You do have to check it. Sometimes AI is telling me about services that I don't even deliver, I don't even do. And I look at it and I go, I don't do that. I mean, I can't do that.
Hello and welcome to Land and Deliver, the podcast that helps you land your message and then deliver it with impact.
So we know that AI is a useful support tool, but when does it become misleading, or when is it maybe a little bit lazy of us to rely on it too much?
I love AI, and I mean, speak to people who don't like AI, and it's quite difficult. But, you know, what is it we're going to go and chat through and talk through? So give us a kind of a rundown, Lou, of what we're going to do today.
I think today we know that as much as there's a lot of advocates and champions for AI, there's a lot of people who mistrust it and are questioning the ethics around it and are quite cautious about using it as well. And I think today we want to acknowledge that, but also look at some positive ways of how we embrace the technology, but also be mindful of we're in charge and not the computer.
There's also quite a bit of mystique around AI. We're told that it's going to take over the world. And, you know, in the previous episode, we chatted to Kim Mason at Nailed AI. Go to the website, by the way, landanddeliver.co.uk. You can see that episode there and download the show notes. But it was really revealing because you and I are kind of, you know, early adopters because, you know, we're doing media stuff. We need to make our flow as efficient as possible, but as creative as possible to help other people. Mm. And AI is the way, I believe, of doing that. But people are just scared, aren't they, of doing it?
There's a lot of fear. And I think, not to downplay it, but if you go back to the days before radio was introduced, when radio was introduced, it was almost this monster. What is this? People coming into our homes telling us to listen. You know, move on to TV, same thing. Screen, you know, there's always something new that takes the human force by storm, and people kind of go, I don't know about this. And there's fear and there's misunderstanding, especially because it's often misused and sometimes abused. Yeah. And I think that's why it's important for us to have these conversations as two people who work in the media and marketing communications industry. Not only are we using it, but we're also working with our clients to help them make good use of it. So that's why it's important for us to demonstrate, okay, we get it. We know why people are cautious and worried. We possibly have those thoughts as well, but also we know how we can use it for good effect.
Yeah, and I'm going to kind of take these elephants in the room head on, really, you know, with, you know, being tricked and with fake content and what we call fake data and also data leaking. Those are real fears. Those are real solvable fears, I've got to say. But we're going to address all those. What do you think worries people most, do you think? Well, when you chat to people, when you're in your daily life, what do you find worries people most?
I think it's the wider situation around data. Now, if we just pause on the thought of AI for a moment, we have had in recent times major companies like Marks and Spencer's and the Co-op, Jaguar Land Rover, who had data breaches. I know someone who received a letter saying, oh, we think we might have had a data breach, or you get that email. So I think in general, as human beings, we're cautious around where is our data, what's being done with it, how is it being used? And then you're seeing these high profile cases. Now, add into the mix AI, where we're feeding these machines. And I think we are going, well, what's going on? What is AI? What is it doing? And I think it's that that makes people say, actually, hang on a minute, I don't know if I like this. And truth be told, it's not going anywhere. We've been using, AI's been happening and being used for way longer than we probably appreciated. I'm going to show my age now, Darren. Do you remember a film called Minority Report with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Right.
Those people in the pool, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was about kind of preempting if someone's going to do a crime or not.
Pre-crime, wasn't it?
Pre-crime. Yeah. And how you, so my first knowledge of AI was that film. And if I go even back before then, Arnold Schwarzenegger and the bots. So when I think of AI, I think of those two films. Kind of like 90s, noughties perspectives of AI technology. And it was fearful. It was scary. It was technology that you couldn't really trust. Now you come back to modern day, and these are the conversations that people are having. They still have these perceptions of this can go wrong. What's going on? I don't like it. There is that feeling. But then on the flip side of the coin, there is also this is making my life easier, making things quicker. you know, it's seamless, it's efficient. So yeah, we're kind of caught between those two worlds, I would say, at the moment.
I don't know about you. I suppose the thing that's really kind of flipped it for me to go, okay, I get AI now, is having a conversation of what AI is. So, for example, you know, we're all used to computers, and up until now, I think sometimes I think you feel a bit tricked with your data because you've trusted a computer, you know how it works, we've been putting in our data, because there was a point where we weren't buying stuff online, we didn't trust it. So now we trust it, now the AI has come along, it's like, oh, crikey. But we know what a computer is. A computer is basically ones and zeros, it's making calculations all the time, right? Everything is ones and zeros. Whether it's, you know, you're designing something and the holdback is really how fast it makes those numbered calculations. That's what a computer is. And we understand that it either does something or it doesn't. With AI, we don't know what it is. We don't know how it operates. And what AI actually is just like autocomplete on steroids, right? It's just looking at all the, it's not intelligent at all. It's just looking at everything and going, where's the pattern? What can I see that, okay, so you've asked me this, I've gone and looked at all my training data, and this is the likely answer that I think you'll need.
Mm.
But also when you're asking it questions as if it's a sage, it's just going, okay, what answer do I think you need?
Mm.
Where's all the data? And it's giving you the most likely answer. It's not creating that in its head.
It's true. I think our dear friend Kim that you mentioned, the AI expert, I've met Kim, attended one of her sessions, so knowledgeable. And I always remember one of the things I take away from her session is she said, AI is a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And when she said it like that, I went, you're right. It doesn't want to let you down. It doesn't want to come down. It doesn't want to come back with a blank answer. It's going to give you something. Now, depending what you've put into the machine and told it, it may not be the right thing. And like you say, the data may be old and stale. But as Kim would say, it is a people pleaser. It wants to keep asking you questions and keep providing information and almost wants to fall at your feet and allow you to worship it and say, oh, aren't you great, AI? That's what it is. It's a people pleaser. And when you think of that, it means you're not, it's going to be biases. There's going to be inaccuracies because it just wants to tell you what it thinks you want to hear.
Yeah. But sometimes I'll say to it, this is what I want to do. I might want to write this report or do this creative way. Please put your best mentor hat on. Don't always agree with me, but please give me an answer based on, again, it's doing pattern recognition based on what mentors would say. And it can go look at all the books they've ever written. And then it'll come back to you and then say, okay, that's not a good idea. Here's what I suggest you do.
Mm-hmm. And I would also suggest as well, look at your settings, any platform or software that you use before you start putting in your life story and lots of sensitive data into it. Look at the settings. We have to be honest, Darren, these companies who are creating these products and software, they want us to use them. So they want to reassure us that they are doing their best for things to be safe and private and secure, while also striking the balance, as you say, as using some of that data to keep learning. So it's in their best interest to reassure us as consumers that things won't get out of hand because there is that fear. But also they do still need that data and to collate it in a way that's anonymous. So if in doubt, you should really be looking at your settings in terms of where is your data going? How is it being shared? For example, there's some things that I think if it's quite sensitive, I know on Copilot, there's a temporary chat option you can use. And sometimes before I use that, I've looked and said, okay, well, if it's temporary, how temporary is temporary? Is it going to keep it for a week? Is it going to keep it for an hour? You know, even though you have a chance for a temporary option to put something in, where does that go? And I think we have to, you know, not just take things at face value, but really ask those discerning questions to help us out.
But also ask the experts. And I did a video quite recently, actually, for a company that deals in major statistical analysis for companies in the city. And they were quite reluctant to use AI because, you know, it's sensitive information. But they've got an IT company involved,
yes,
that the conversation is basically, here's the AI, you can use it whatever you want, we'll make sure that data doesn't go out anywhere. So it's almost like getting an expert, trusting the expert, and it's magic.
Magic, I love that.
I'm using the word magic a lot though with AI, because I think because there's only so much you can really hold in your brain, and then you've got to trust the expert, to, just like we do at the moment with our own computers.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
You know, I have no idea. I upload a lot of stuff to Dropbox for clients to download, and you downloaded all the pictures, you know, for your training that you did in Oxford. You know, I don't know how that works. I just put it up there. I can give you the link and they're your pictures. You know that no one else is going to be able to take them. The same with AI. You just got to trust that that happens, and then you can get on and do your work knowing that that's quite secure. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really, you know, good mindset to have when dealing with AI right now, is just get the experts in and then enjoy all the wonderful benefits.
Yeah, I think that's right. And today, as we talk about AI transparency, ethics, keeping things secure, but also still remembering that key component is the human questioning. For us, it's today, it's all about talking around how it's being used. So for example, when I send someone an email, in my email signature, I have a sentence that says, this, you know, AI disclosure, this email may have been written with AI influence, but checked by a real human. So it's telling people again. And I think because this technology now is so open, it's out there, everyone's talking about it. I think before there may have been a bit of stigma or taboo about talking about it and saying, oh, I'm using it in the early days. Whereas now it's okay to say, this has been written with support and help from, because every single tool you use right now has AI embedded into it. Whether you choose to use it or not is up to you. But I think if you are open and honest about if you've used it in client work, on my website, I've got an AI transparency statement that basically says it does. It says, you know, that if you work with me, there will be times, and I'm declaring that as part of my business in marketing and communications, I have AI influences involved in that, because some of my, you know, marketing materials have used Canva AI technology. It's made my life a bit quicker and easier. Had to tweak a few things as well, but you know.
We're going to chat about that, yeah, 5 hours later.
Exactly. But it is. And for me, I'm not a graphic designer.
No.
I don't want to be. This good people who are, but AI has helped me. Let's be honest. And I think ethically, when you look at your business and what you're doing, that's what you're trying to say. You're trying to clearly demonstrate when it's you and when it's a human.
Because you and I operate differently at the moment, and there are no laws around this, and they probably should be, because I don't disclose AI, because I speak to people, especially in the education world for some reason, where they go, oh, that's AI slop, right? So I've sent emails to people who I won't disclose, because we know some of them, and they don't know I use AI, where they've gone, that's really interesting how you've handled me there as a client, because actually your email's just struck the right note. And I'm thinking, actually what I did was I used ChatGPT to go, okay, this is the person I'm talking to. They operate in this way. This is what they've said. How should I answer that? And then it's gone, okay, so you'd answer it, and I've tweaked it for my language. Mm. So it has helped me. It's mentored me in sales. So what they get is a great response from me, because people don't realize that, you know, yes, I have proofread it 5 times before sending. Mm. So should I disclose it? Because yes, AI helped me, but I don't disclose, for example, I used a computer to type this rather than coding ones and zeros. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I think for me, it's about intent. So I think if there was my intention with how I run my business or interact with my clients is to be authentic and real and open and honest. And I guess for me, that's the thread that goes through my business. Mm. And that's why I choose to disclose it, because I feel that I want them to know that, yes, while I have had some help, like you say, AI or a computer or, you know, a graphic designer, it's also, I have other influences that have helped me.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I try and demonstrate as well by saying this is that I'm showing that I'm innovative and that I am involved in the latest technology. Mm. So by, I suppose, the other element to me saying and disclosing it is saying to people, I'm aware of this technology, but I'm also aware of being transparent about how I use it. And for me, that I think that's important. So there's an element of them knowing, oh, okay, she uses it, she's aware of it, but she's aware of the limitations and the influences and the boundaries around it. Yeah. And I'm showing that through disclosing and being open, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think just before anyone thinks, oh, hang on, if I deal with Darren, he's gonna trick me. I suppose with emails, I don't disclose. But for example, you know, yeah. You and I have had conversations online or Zoom, and I've used an AI dictation tool take a transcript of our conversation.
Yes.
And I've got to say, actually, Otter AI has been fantastic.
Yes.
So, for example, and again, actually, I did disclose to the person I'm writing a proposal for to say, look, I'm recording a transcript, because what I'm going to do is, because, you know, you'll give me lots of new information, I can then mine that information to then create you a great creative.
That's a really good example, because I think nowadays when you record a conversation, you're asking for people's permission to record the meeting. And then on top of that, my extra caveat is, are you okay if I use AI note taker? Is there anything sensitive you want to discuss in this conversation? If there is, I will remove it. And 9 times out of 10, people will say to me, yep, keep it going, it's fine, because they know. And if there's something that's a bit more personal that we talk about at the end of the meeting, I'll say, hang on a minute, let me stop record, let me stop the AI note taker, so this conversation goes nowhere, because it is personal, sensitive. So I think really what we're talking about today with the ethics is, there's accountability. Yes, we have these tools and settings, but as humans, we have the opportunity to pause it, turn it off. We have the option to question when we say and when we don't. And accountability comes down to all of us, really. The developer, the user, the algorithm has an accountability as well. And I as I say, it's about intent, and we don't want to misuse it. And have that misinformation out there. But we do want to ensure that we are using it to good effect and with good impact.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, we talked about that, but also there's a good old health warning about, because AI can really help you do your tasks really fast. You know, I wrote a proposal that would normally, something brand new, would have taken me half a day. It still took me about 2 hours on something brand new, but I could have generated it in about 5 minutes, because the danger there is speed, isn't it? And, you know, if you do something too quickly with AI, there's an issue.
Yes, there is an issue. And I think AI makes life easy for us in the sense of, you put your prompt in, it tells you the information, and then you can just copy and paste, and there you go. You have to read it. You do have to check it. We were laughing before we hit record this morning that sometimes AI is telling me about services that I don't even deliver. I don't even do. And I look at it and I go, I don't do that. I mean, and I can't do that. You know, it almost wants to sell a service to my clients that I can't deliver. Now, if I'm not careful, that goes out. And the next thing you know, I have people asking me for things that I can't deliver. That's really, now, great idea, but that's not my area of expertise. So I think we do have to ensure that we are checking facts, because it's the fact checking that really helps us to say no. And look, don't get me wrong, AI is going to give us some brilliant ideas that we haven't had before that may be great for in the future, but don't let it distract and detract you onto another path, to the point where you're thinking, this isn't me, this doesn't sound like me, this isn't what I do. Stay true. You have to be very firm and clear with who you are, what you deliver, and what you want to say. AI will take you down another path, which is great and may inspire you, but also it could take you down a path that completely then disguises and distracts away from what you need and want, and then you're left going, oh, this isn't me. So that's the thing to be careful of. The copy and pasting is great. Please read it. Please check it. Please be sure it's factually correct. Love the fact that AI gives you sources to tell you where it's pulled things in from. Sometimes I ask it questions and ask it to pull it from my website just to check check those sources, because some of the sources may not be relevant to UK, maybe more American sources. Recently, I read something that was brilliant, but it was relevant to Australia. How could I quote it in the UK? But I hadn't given the right prompt.
No, you hadn't said, please give me this information
right,
from the UK.
Right, exactly. So it pulled in stuff from Australia, which sounded brilliant. Doesn't apply to this country.
But also, I think when it gets it wrong, sometimes, for example, when I was generating a CV for some work I was doing, it constantly said that I had a media degree from Bournemouth University.
Nice.
If only I had.
I was going to say, I've yet to see your graduation photo, Darren.
School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, exactly.
School of media tart.
But I like that it gave you that. I like that. It feels you deserve it.
But what, perhaps I should. But anyway, so what I did was I said, okay, why are you saying this? Why? Where are you getting this information from? Actually, what it did was it said, I'll actually just put it in as a play setter just to fill it because it didn't know. Because it's really confident.
People pleaser.
Yeah, people pleaser.
It wants you to have a degree, Darren.
So I then said, that's lovely. I literally said it in this way. That's lovely. But that's not true. Please do not do that. And please remember this for the future. Mm. And then since then, it hasn't given me a degree from Bournemouth University. But, you know, it's all about its training data. And you've got to, I think, sometimes ask it why it's got something wrong. Also helps you understand the AI and understand that it's not going to take over the world just yet.
I'd like a degree from Harvard. Do you think it would give me that? All of a sudden, oh, didn't know you went to uni in America.
But it's really interesting because people are using it for speed and like even for recruitment. I don't know about you, but you know, AI is used a lot for recruitment at the moment. And I think that's really bad.
Because it's about people. And people, we're not robots. We're trying to match the right candidate to the right role based on their skills, expertise, but also their fit within the team and the wider culture of the company. And yes, I guess the first way you understand that is the words that they've put on their application, but there may be things they've left off.
Yeah.
There may be things that actually they're really good at that they didn't, include. And also how you could read my CV and then when you meet me, you might have two very different perceptions.
I think the big elephant in the room actually is probably diversity, because what it's doing is it's pattern matching, right? So it's looking for something that's similar. When we're recruiting, for example, and recruiting creative people, you don't necessarily want the same person as you, no. Right?
You want someone with different ideas, different experiences, because they're going to bring a whole lot more to the party.
Yeah, and it can be a source of conflict. We know that because when you get people from diverse backgrounds, mm-hmm. you get amazing creative outputs. Broadly speaking, different personalities in different mm-hmm. countries, different cultures, and you can see how they can clash. One's quite set back, one's quite dynamic, both have great ideas. And I don't think AI necessarily accounts for that. You know, if you're recruiting for creatives and recruiting for that, you've got to kind of actually go, I need to see the whites of their eyes, because you'd think of the dynamic of the team.
It's true. And that's what AI can't do. I know that sometimes in recruitment spaces, what they do is because the job spec has certain criteria or certain phrases, in the past they've used that to kind of match with people's applications. So say you have a degree or a PhD and that's what's needed in the job, anyone who mentions that in their application, okay, that's a tick.
Yeah.
And then they go through and that's how they match it. Whereas AI, using AI for it, like you say, strips away that human behaviour and that human interaction.
I genuinely think in the world of AI, it's never been more important to concentrate on the human.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. About a year ago, I went to a session hosted by Google and they were demoing Google Gemini and showing us, you know, the AI tools that they have. And I was quite taken aback, but also quite warmed by the fact that the people delivering each session that day for Google kept reinforcing human interaction. As much as they were demoing these lovely tools and look at what Google Gemini can do to help you out, very impressive, but also it was brilliant that they kept saying must still include human interaction, human prompts, human information, and because that's what is going to keep the wheels turning and keep that momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
When I went to the event that day, I wasn't expecting to hear that as much as I did. And I left going, okay, I see how the two now can run side by side.
I think it's also understanding, isn't it? Because it can do a lot of the legwork for you with regards to perhaps, you know, finding, perhaps if it's, you know, you're recruiting for law, for example, you can make sure they've got the right qualifications. But, you know, you filter for things that you must have, but then don't filter too much and then step in perhaps a bit earlier in the human stage. So, you know, you're doing a bit more of the legwork.
Indeed. So what's the key takeaways that we want to take away from today, talking about AI transparency, ethics and use?
I don't know. I think, you know, best practice AI, I think, you know, we've always said this, it gets you off the blank page, right? And it can give you a load of information, but, you know, you you've got all, I think it's a nice, for me, it's a nice problem to deal with. So I've just written a business proposal for someone in the city, and it gave me something like 22 pages of information, all in the wrong order, but actually on a subject I don't know, because I'm not a trained journalist like you. I've worked with journalists, and so I learn how they think. It was really quite good to go through it, get to about draft 13. But by the time I got to draft 13 and I know it's in the right order and, you know, I've proposed it in the right way, it's got a lot of me in there. Mm. In it, and I've thought it through, but it's then really, really me. But I've learned about the client because I've recorded the conversation about a business sector that's brand new. But I've started off with AI, but I've ended off definitely with me owning that content.
So you're saying it gets you over the blank page. I think some takeaways for you, dear listener and viewer today, is to remember to check your facts. Yeah. Fact checking is always vital, but also to make sure that it's supporting your voice and not replacing it. That's what we're really talking about today. It's hand in hand with you, not AI kind of usurping you and being over you, and you're kind of there cowering underneath it to its demands. It is there to support you and not to replace. I think another takeaway from today really is just remembering that just be careful with sensitive data. As much as, you know, things are locked down and there's lots of privacy and security, today we've talked about accountability and how you may or may not choose to disclose it, but do be careful with sensitive data and just check your settings to ensure that you know where that data is going and how it could be used. And if in doubt, just don't do it.
Because you can absolutely get secure data now with AI, but if you don't know, you know, you ask.
There we go. So that's it. AI is here to help you communicate with clarity and help to support you, but human impact is still important.
Absolutely. Well, look, thanks very much for listening to this edition, or watching if you're watching on YouTube, of Land and Deliver. Don't forget the show notes on our website. Go to landanddeliver.co.uk, and if you sign up for the show notes, you get everything we've talked about and a summary of that, and that helps you to hopefully be more emotionally intelligent with your own AI, but also you'll get notifications of every time we do another episode, which is every 2 weeks, and you get the show notes for that too. So have a look at the website. It's landanddeliver.co.uk. But until next time, bye-bye.